Well, joining us now in the studio is Dr. Seth Moore. He is a wildlife biologist at Grand Portage Trust Lands and a regular guest here on WTIP. Welcome, Seth.
Hi, Kara. Good to be here again.
You just were in Washington, D.C. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I was at a symposium called First Steward Symposium, and that was a forum where a lot of the different tribes across the nation and coastal tribes met in D.C. at the Smithsonian Institution to talk about climate change and how it's impacting Indian tribes.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a really valuable setting because, you know, tribes, because of their treaty rights, have a forum to communicate with the government on a peer-to-peer level. And so this is a good forum, and this is a good agenda to talk about with the federal government. You know, the important things that we are trying to get across to the government is that climate change is seriously impacting Indian tribes, you know, largely because of the strong cultural ties that tribal people have to natural resources. You know, here in Grand Portage, we're immersed in natural resources all the time. So we see the effects of the changing climate, for example, on our moose herd. You know, we see these effects sooner, and we feel the effects of climate change more acutely probably than average citizens in the United States. And so for that reason, we really feel that Indian tribes are going to be disproportionately affected by climate change.
So what are you working on as far as climate change right now?
Well, you know, in the Great Lakes region, we're seeing some of the effects. So we're seeing longer hot periods in winter and in summer. We're seeing these extreme weather events like windstorms and these extreme rain events. And, you know, you think of the storms that we've had recently, we're getting lots of rain events where more than an inch of rain is being dumped at a time. And, you know, the way I think about this is what historically was a 500-year flood event may become a 10-year flood event. The whole scale of extreme weather is changing, and so we really have to be ready for that. So those are the types of things that we're working on trying to plan for. And so there are a lot of things that tribes can do. You know, the most important thing is realizing that change is imminent, and status quo is not going to be the case, so we need to be ready for this. So some of the things that tribes also can do, we can begin to mitigate some of the changes that we're seeing. You know, an example of this on the Grand Portage Reservation related to climate change, we had a lake, it's actually called Trout Lake, that formerly was a trout lake. But as our summers have become hotter and hotter, the water temperature in that lake has reached the lethal thermal threshold for brook trout. So our brook trout populations began tanking, and so we had to come up with an alternative plan. What we've done to adapt in that situation is actually put a warm water fish community into that lake so that we can have a viable fisheries in spite of the climate change.
It's kind of sad in a way, though, isn't it?
It is sad, and it's a little bit frustrating that we're being forced to adapt to these changes, although we aren't necessarily responsible for the changes occurring. You know, Indian tribes have treaty rights, as most people know. So they signed treaties with the federal government in the 1800s, reserving rights to hunt, fish, and gather on the lands that they had ceded off to the government. Unfortunately, what's happening in that same process, these reservation boundaries were set and finalized. So as the biota changes because of climate change, as northern species populations tend to move northward because of the warming climate, these reservation boundaries can't move at all. Wow. So we have to adapt to the changes that are happening here. And I agree with you. It's unfortunate.
So that means culturally, things are going to be changing.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And you know, a perfect example of this is the moose herd. The culture of the Grand Portage Band has been to subsist off of moose forever. And as our moose population drops because of the effects of climate change, we're losing that aspect of our culture. And it's very significant. And so we're going to have to potentially at some point to make a decision. Do we try to manage a dwindling moose herd, or do we just shift over to deer or some other subsistence species?
Do scientists think that this is reversible, or that it'd ever go back the way it was?
It's a good question. I don't know that it's reversible, but some of the impacts that we're seeing, we may be able to slow the change, or the rate of change of the climate. And so that's another thing that the tribes can do, is they can stay active in the global arena on climate change issues. They can work with the federal government and ask the federal government to implement meaningful legislation on things that cause climate change, like slowing the carbon dioxide loading in the atmosphere. And then we also can begin to mitigate on our own reservations, and we can help, we can ask the federal government to assist in mitigation for climate change as well.
Well, tell me a little bit more about the meeting that you were at. Who was it with, and what other tribes were represented?
Oh, that's a great question. It was a group of coastal tribes around the U.S. that met at the Smithsonian Institution to talk about climate change. It was put together by the Ho, Macaw, and two other tribes out west that are coastal communities. And then because it was a coastal tribal symposium, they also wanted some representation from the Great Lakes as well. And so I was invited to represent the Grand Portage Band because of our boundaries on the shore of Lake Superior.
And you've been a leader in preparing for climate change.
Yeah, we certainly try to be. We're one of the first tribes in the nation that's begun to put together a climate change adaptation plan. Our plan is nearing completion, and that's what I was invited to talk about at the symposium.
And when you came away from it, how did you feel?
Well, I felt like there are a lot of issues at stake, but there are a bunch of tribes that are beginning to get organized and trying to work with the government to try to deal with these issues. So there was some good and some bad that come out of it, you know.
Right. What's next?
That's a good question. I think that they were wording this as the inaugural meeting of this first steward symposium. So what's next may be additional meetings and more focused types of agendas.
Great. Want to remind folks, we're talking with Dr. Seth Moore. He's a wildlife biologist with the Grand Portage Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa, and a regular guest here on WTIP. Thanks a lot, Seth.
Thanks a lot, Kara. We'll see you later.
All right.